Time once again for another Castle Country Focus interview on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. I'm Dave Hokanson. Joining me today in studio, I have Debbie Pappas with Second Chance Wildlife and Rehabilitation. We like to get Debbie in all the time and talk about different things that are happening in different seasons. And as we head into the fall and the winter months, there's a couple of different things we need to worry about and kind of keep an eye out for. For the most part, the hummingbirds are gone now. And we're going to talk about what you can do as far as taking down your feeders, those kinds of things. And then with the winter months on the way and snow removal, one thing that we really need to look out for on the sides of the road are golden eagles. Yes, they're very difficult to miss because they're huge, but you got to keep an eye out for those as well. Debbie, how are you today?
Great, Dave. And you?
I'm doing well. Great. So let's talk a little about a second chance and let people know kind of what you do. And the one thing I know you're always looking for, volunteers and help down there. So let's talk all about it for a moment.
Okay. So, yeah, we are a wildlife rehabilitation agency. We're not a educational, so it's not something that people can come and look at the animals. They are patients. They're truly patients, and it's a life and death situation in probably 98% of the time. So they're there for a reason. They're in trouble. We do the work that a lot of people think the state of Utah does, but they do not. If they come and pick up an injured or orphaned animal, they're bringing it to a wildlife rehabilitator. That's the law. We work closely with different agencies, including the Division of Wildlife, but we don't work for them. We're run by volunteers. No one gets paid at my facility, including myself. It's a 7-day a week job, 365 days a year. Things don't take a day off across the state of Utah. And since there's so few of us, I mean, we really have to. Holidays are always really hard, and summers are really, really hard with baby season.
And the one thing we talk about every time you come in is people think they're doing the right thing, and they are, for the most part, calling the DWR.
Sure.
But the DWR calls you.
Right. That's what goes on behind the scenes. So they may say, well, I dropped something off, so I know they took it. And it's like, yeah, they took it to me. So the rest of the sentence goes like that. So again, we work closely with them. In fact, Scott Gibson is the sensitive species biologist over there, and he'll be showing up today to help band some owls that we're getting ready to release. Scott and I work together all the time. And we do a lot of work with them, and there's some good people over there. Like I said, people can drop things off over there. They can call them, but literally you're going to be referred to me, or if you've already dropped it off, somebody will call me and ask me to come get it, or an officer will bring it to me.
And if you've made the trip to the DWR office on Carbonville Road, you're either really close or you already passed your place.
Absolutely. So I'm really, really close. I'm right by the radio station here in Carbonville.
So, and it's such a great thing, and you're always looking for volunteers. And the thing that you always say is, yeah, people think that, yes, it's coming and taking care of animals, but there's a bunch of other things that can be done out there, right?
Absolutely. If your talent is like planting and things like that, which, you know, I would love to have people like that, because plants look at me and they scream in fear, because I've been known to kill plastic plants. So we don't want to go there, but we got to have upkeep. We got to have landscaping. We are a facility. We have to present properly. We recently had a group of gentlemen come out and make us a wonderful sign, which I've needed for 28 years, and we finally got it this year. There's always something to be done. Always.
Always. All right. So let's talk then. You wanted to mention and kind of have a discussion about hummingbirds, because hummingbirds should be gone for the most part now, correct?
Absolutely. So they migrate differently. The juveniles migrate first, and then the adults migrate last. I have not seen any hitting my feeders for a couple of weeks now. So I would assume that they're pretty much out of the area, which, you know, they're heading to warmer climates where they can find flowering plants and insects, because hummingbirds eat insects. And then the hummingbirds, obviously, that are in warmer climates where there are flowering cactus. We have, like in southern Utah and into Arizona, we have bats that eat the nectar from, and that's how these plants in the desert get pollinated. So, but they're all moving, and so just keep that in mind. So take your feeders down, you know, and if you don't, big deal. I know that there's, you know, wives' tales around if you don't take your feeders down, the hummingbirds aren't going to migrate. That's just a wives' tale. I mean, you're not going to change evolution due to your little one hummingbird feeder.
They won't stick around just for that.
No.
All right, and then the other thing you wanted to touch on, too, before we get out of here is, you know, with winter season coming, yes, it's coming, whether we want to believe it or not, and snow removal on the highways and things like that, the Golden Eagles are going to be out, and you know what? They're going to lose a lot of space off the side of the roads with that.
Yeah.
So what are some things that people can do to just kind of be safe and keep an eye out for those things, really?
Right. So we got to remember, in our area, we are extremely blessed to have the Golden Eagle population that we do. Unfortunately, their numbers are in trouble across the state, and that there's a lot of reasons for that. But so, I mean, every life has always mattered, but I mean, more so now than anything. So in winter, it's harder for these predators, who are also, by the way, scavengers, to find their food. I mean, it's winter, it's hard for everything. So they revert a lot of times to the deer that have been hit on the road. And then after the snow plows come by and the deer get moved with the snow off to the side of the road, we clearly have lost that safety area to the right on each lane, and now it's filled with snow and anything that might be dead in there. So we see a lot more eagle strikes by vehicles in the wintertime, and it's always due to, you know, the first thing I asked the officers involved or whoever that calls, was there a deer carcass there? And majority of the time they tell me yes.
So it's just one of those things that if you see them, and if you see, especially the one thing you need to look out for is dead deer off the side of the road. And if you see them, that means you need to, you know,
slow down,
take a little bit of extra time and keep an eye out. Really.
Right. And these aren't tiny birds. They don't just get off the ground like a helicopter. It is difficult for them to get off the ground. And, you know, when they do, they usually fly at an angle low across the road until they can gain some height. This is how they get hit. And, you know, when a vehicle, particularly a semi, hits an eagle, it's really hard to put them back together.
Absolutely. So if anybody has any questions, if anybody wants to come and give you a hand, how can they get a hold of you?
My telephone number directly to me is 435-650-3441. And we can talk about what you may be able to do or not be able to do, and then we can work around that.
All right. Debbie Pappas with Second Chance Wildlife and Rehabilitation. Thank you so much for coming in today. We appreciate the time.
Thanks, Dave.
Now, for more information on interviews like this, you can always check out our website, castlecountryradio.com, and listen for Castle Country Focus on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.